we present Beachcomber by the Way, selections from the humour of J.B. Morton, with Richard Ingrams as the author.
Hello, morons.
Interruptions by John Wells as Prodnose.
Well, takes one to know one.
You bastard.
With the considerable talents of Miss June Whitfield, Mr. John Sessions, Miss Joan Sims, Miss Patricia Routledge, Mr. Simon Greenall, Mr. Brian Bowles, and Miss Henrietta Garden. Beachcomber by the Way.
Good day to you, my listeners. One of the hazards of stewardship of such a long-running and popular radio programme of genius such as this...
Genius? Hark at her.
Oh, that is another one of them. ...is that one becomes the target for prodigious quantities of mail, for which unsolicited is the only polite description that comes to mind. There are some delights among the dross, however, such as this I received some little while ago from Emily Gifthorse, Mrs.
Dear Sir... Yesterday morning I noticed that a blue tit had pecked the cap off my milk bottle. The milk inside was frozen, and the little bird had tiny skates on its feet and was skating round and round on the milk.
And this from Eric Blather.
Dear Beachcomber, as a giant of modern literature, please can you inform me as to what is the best way to stop mice in the rafters from coming downstairs into the kitchen in the early morning?
One way is to hide their trousers while they're asleep at night. To aid these distressed listeners, I have therefore engaged Mrs. Agatha Welkstuffer, formerly Spice Rack of The Kitchen World, to sort through my mail and provide some eagerly awaited answers to correspondence.
Hello. Agatha Welkstuffer here. Well, time's limited, so let's wade right in, shall we? I'm only going to be using first names, so listen out, everyone. Babs. He probably only fans his tea with his hat because he's been told that it's not quite comme il faut to breathe heavily over the carp. Nita. When he says he's in the household brigade, it may be his way of telling you that he is a butler. Anyhow, your aunt is not justified in crying over the banisters. Where's your charger, Colonel? Edna. The dark-skinned gentleman who winked at you in the tea shop and offered to give you an elephant was probably an Indian student. There's no need to tell your mother about it. Few of these students can afford the luxury of an elephant, even for themselves. Clara, no wonder your mother did not take to him if on his first visit he twanged his braces at her, lifting them and then letting them slap back against his shirt. Perhaps it was his nervousness. Dot, his loud smacking noise... imitative of a kiss, is bad form at tea time, but to follow it up with a cry of yum-yum really places him beyond the pale. Edith. No, dear, slosh is not a ladylike word, slap is better. Oh, and just one more for now. Audrey. When he, A, next puts his walnut on the floor and jumps on it in front of your mother and great-aunt, remind him that there are such things as nutcrackers. B, tell him if he eats the skin of the orange he will be very ill. C. He had obviously never eaten lobster before. D. Perhaps he had no handkerchief. And E. There is no law about spats having to match each other. That he wears them at all is something.
But exactly what I am too polite to say. Our thanks to Mrs. Welkstuffer. But now to more pressing matters.
Home news. The hearing began at the High Court today of the case against Mrs. Una Butterscotch, the 60-year-old street trader charged with contravening the Defence of the Realm regulations. It is alleged that Mrs. Butterscotch was observed laying out for sale on a barrow a number of pen wipers made from processed mackerel fins. The man who made the original observation, Mr. Pickfrocket, a plainclothes official of the Ministry of Current Affairs, then summoned a colleague, Mr. Slimy, who attempted to purchase one of the mackerel fin pen wipers from Mrs. Butterscotch for the price of tuppence halfpenny. As soon as the money had been paid, Mr. Pickfrocket then arrested Mrs. Butterscotch for contravening Article 981B of the Mackerel Fins Order and Article 126 of the Processed Articles Order under the Defence of the Realm Act, Regulation 98628. It is hoped that the case will clarify the law in the hitherto grey area of fish product usage. The case is being heard before Mr. Justice Cocklecarrot, with Mr. Tinklebury Snapdriver appearing for the prosecution, brought by the Ministry of Current Affairs, and with Mr. Honeyweather Gooseboot appearing for the defence, and a grossly inflated fee.
Silence in court, quiet, please. Come on now, settle down. Quiet down, will you? Asher.
It would seem that you are the only one now making any noise.
Ah, I do believe you're right. Sorry, my lord, sorry.
Yes. Now then. Mr. Gooseboot, Mr. Snapdriver, ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
And what about me?
Silence, please.
Oh, do shut up at once.
Do you mean me, my lord?
Yes, I do, yes.
Right, you are. Sorry about that. Not another peep. Sorry, no, don't you worry. Not another thing for me. No.
Do shut up.
That's better. You tell him, your lordship.
Quiet, madam, please. This is a court of law. During our proceedings here, I hope not to hear another word from you.
Oh, well, that's nice. I'm only the poor soul what's on trial, if you please. Don't mind me.
Silence. Mr. Gooseboot, can you not keep your client quiet until the appropriate time?
Quite obviously, I cannot, my lad. I suggest we crack on and try to shut her up with a lot of legal gobbledygook that she just won't understand.
I agree, my lad.
Then let us proceed, gentlemen. As I see it, the full penalty of the law has been invoked against Mrs. Blatherscott.
Hello, Cullies.
Yes, in that she did, on such and such a date, endanger the realm and jeopardize the balance of trade by selling tuppence halfpenny of processed mackerel fin from a barrow or barrows...
Only got the one, dearie.
..with intent to set at naught at least 1,241 regulations, orders, laws, bylaws and statutes. Mr. Snapdriver, is that a fair statement of the prosecution's case?
Fair indeed, but distressingly concise, my lad. I would like to open the prosecution by pointing out to this court that in Articles 91 to 1107 inclusive of the Mackerel Fins open brackets processing close brackets order, it is laid down that the only kind of pen wiper which may be sold in the open street is one made of felt.
Oh, I bet none of you gents had heard of 91 to 1107 inconclusive till you had to find something to throw at me.
Silence.
Well, lad, at this point, I'd like to call upon Mrs. Butterscotch to give evidence.
For what possible purpose, Mr. Gooseboot?
Mine is the only way we'll stop her interrupting, my lad.
Yes, good point. Call Mrs. Una Butterscotch. How dare you, fool?
Sorry, my lord.
Call Mrs. Una!
Oh, too late, I'm already here.
Mrs. Butterscotch, will you please tell the court in your own words exactly what happened?
I think some of her own words might prove a little salty for the jury, my lord.
Yes. So do try to keep it decent, Mrs. Butterscotch.
Yes, well, I was thinking of nothing when up come a slimy bloke and asked for a pen wiper. Well, not knowing he was a dirty spy, I sold him one for tuppence halfpenny. Then up comes another dirty spy what had been hiding behind a pub, and he starts a lot of stuff about contravening the realm and hauls me off for breaking the law. Then I'm dragged in here to listen to a lot of baby talk.
In other words, Mrs. Butterscotch, you were unaware that you were breaking the law.
You're quick, ain't you?
Silence.
And how did you know that the fins you were selling were processed?
I never said they were. What do you mean by processed?
Aha! Then they may not have been processed, my lad. If my client thought she was selling unprocessed fins, then she was breaking no law.
Yes, but if she doesn't know what the term process means, then she similarly couldn't have thought that her fins were unprocessed, could she, my lad?
I wait further evidence, Mr. Snapdriver. Yes, that's it. Now, Mr. Snapdriver, might the fins legitimately have been sold as fins with no ulterior usage?
Indeed, my lad. Except that whereas it is illegal under the regulations to sell a processed fin for use as a pen wiper, it is also illegal to sell an unprocessed fin for use as, well, as a fin.
What? But surely fins may be sold as fins?
Not before processing, my lad.
But what's the good of processing them if they cannot then be sold as the article which the processing turns them into, eh? Tell me that.
Millard, would it help at this stage to call Mr. Simeon Pickfrocket?
Is he unlicensed vittler?
No, Millard.
Then I very much doubt it.
Millard, a processed fin can be rendered back into an unprocessed state by a process, as it were, of deprocessing.
But surely, Millard, in this instance, unprocessed means not previously processed. A deprocessed processed fin is, in truth, an unprocessed fin that has been doubly processed as a result of first processing, then deprocessing.
Yes,
I foresaw that line of argument, my lad. That is why I brought with me today this full report of the Fish Fin Processing Commission. It runs to 47,000 words and establishes beyond any possible doubt.
Yes, Mr. Goosebush?
There is no trace of Cerso phosphorus in the fin.
That is not what they were asked, surely?
No, my lad, but it is what they answered.
Is there no reference to processization?
No, my lad, other than in the name of the commission.
Have you anything to add to this ludicrous debate, Mrs. Butterscotch?
Yes, I have. I'm sick of the old damn lot of you. Why not send me to the tower and have done with it, afore this old blooming realm goes smash for want of defence from them as sells tuppence ha'penny a blithering mackerel fin? What if I'd sold fourpenneth, or a shilling, I'd dread to think, undrawn and beheaded without trial, I'll bet. You're nothing but a bunch of fools in wigs.
Silence in the court. I think we'd better adjourn for luncheon after that. I do hope it's not fish.
Court will rise for Mr. Justice Copycat. Court will rise. Come on. On your legs. Come on.
Usher.
Everybody up. Out you go.
Usher.
Come on.
Usher. You're the only one still seated, you fool.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Home news. There was drama in the High Court yesterday when the trial of Mrs. Una Butterscotch, the 60-year-old street trader charged with selling a processed mackerel fin for use as a pen wiper, resumed after lunch. The counsel for the defence, Mr. Honeyweather Gooseboot, managed somehow to get his elbow caught in his mouth while picking up a document. The hearing eventually resumed with the calling of Sir Gregory Bathwater as an expert witness for the prosecution. Human, vital, dynamic, bushy-eyebrowed, Sir Gregory was for many years Rushton Lecturer in Comparative Pituitology at Swindon University. He is also chairman of the Fin Processing Committee.
Mr. Gooseboot, your witness, and do keep your elbows away from your mouth.
I shall try, my lad. Now, Sir Gregory, can a mackerel fin, in your opinion, ever be considered fully processed?
It would depend on what you mean by fully and processed.
And what would you mean by those terms, Sir Gregory?
I would mean fully, as in completely, totally, 100%, and processed, as in having undergone some process, mechanical or otherwise, which alters to a greater or lesser degree the original state of the object or objects.
And is that not what everyone would mean by those terms, Sir Gregory?
I'm sorry, my lord, but I refuse to speculate on the etymological understanding of the common man whilst under oath.
Ooh, ain't he lord it all, your worship?
Quiet, Mrs. Blitterscotch. Thank you. You may step down, Sir Gregory. And by that I mean go away. Does anyone wish to call anyone else?
Yes. I want to call my sister. Tell her I'll be late because of all this tomfoolery.
Quiet.
And my lad?
Yes, Mr. Snapdriver.
I wonder if you can guess what I have in my hand.
Oh, this is no time for silly games, Mr. Snapdriver.
No, my lad. This is, in fact, the very tuppence halfpenny pen wiper sold by Mrs. Butterscotch to my assistant, Mr. Pickfrocket.
Has it been processed?
It is impossible to tell, my lad. I'm afraid that Pudgy, the caretaker's cat, got hold of it before we could send it off for analysis.
Oh, this is hopeless. Has no one anything sensible to say or useful to add to this ridiculous trial?
Yes, I have. How could I have been expected to understand the law what you gents has yacked about for 3 days and still don't get, eh? All I've heard is processed, deprocessed, unprocessed, half-processed, and you can't agree on nothing. Blimey, if I was in danger in the realm by flogging tuppence ha'penny of stuff, then why wasn't the dirty spy what bought it in danger in the realm too? Accessory, a foreign art of the crime, that's what I says. There, I've said me piece.
Congratulations, Mrs. Butterscotch. A most impressive display of oratory.
Oh.
Perhaps the counsels for the prosecution and the defence may care to enlighten us further on your most interesting point.
I'm afraid they can't do that, my love.
And why not?
They have their elbows wedged in each other's mouths.
Oh, God, not again, not again. Court adjourned for 15 minutes.
Home news. The High Court today saw the summing up by Mr. Justice Cocklecarrot of the evidence heard during the trial of Mrs. Una Butterscotch. The baffled-looking jury then left the court to consider their verdict. They're expected to remain out for some time. As the judge himself commented afterwards, the longer the better.
Silence! Silence in court! And will someone please retrieve my gavel from that most irritating usher? Thank you. I sincerely hope never to have to share a courtroom with him again. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you have reached a verdict.
Yes, Your Honour. And a more painful 3 days any of us are yet to spend.
Well, you haven't done a dwarf case yet, have you? Your verdict, please, if you wish.
Not guilty.
Quiet, quiet. Perhaps you would care for a week or so to consider the evidence again.
Evidence? We've heard nothing but balderdash. We would have said guilty if we'd been able to follow just one of the arguments of the so-called learned counsel, and that's for Sir Gregory Bathwater.
Yes, thank you. It would seem, Mrs. Balderdash, that you are free to go without, as it were, a mackerel stain upon your character.
Butterscotch, Your Honour, tar.
Yes,
and if you should ever want pen wipers,
yes,
just leave me out of it, you wooden-headed fools.
And so it was that the case of Mrs. Butterscotch came to an end, or, as the French prefer, fin.
Oh.
Silence, Maxwump. More of Cocklecarrot next time.
The captain stood on his bridge alone with his telescope to his eye. The ship, she was sinking rapidly as the storm went howling by. He saw the rush for the lifeboats, and he noticed a pier old and grey. Then a sailor approached and saluted, and thus to the pier he did say:
"Pray take my place in the lifeboat. 'Tis a gesture I willingly make. Since I fagged for your nephew at Repton, it's the least I might do for his sake. And when next, sir, you're seeing your nephew, pray sing him this short refrain: Pinnock Minor went down like a Repton man, and gladly he'll do it again. Pinnock Minor went down like a Repton man, and gladly he'll do it again."
Aha! Typing, are we?
No, dung beetle, I am typing. You are making that unpleasant noise peculiar to your species. There, finished.
Why can't you be nice to me for once?
Rodney's, I shall be more than nice to you.
You shall?
Yes, for I shall now bestow upon you the honour of being the first to hear the latest entries in my dictionary for today. This week, the letter R.
Some honour. Didn't you inflict P upon us last time? What happened to Q?
Ask one more irritating question, and you shall find out.
Proceed.
Thank you. Raid. When members of the police force visit a nightclub, it is called a raid.
Twaddle.
Recluse. A man who cuts down his social engagements while he is writing a novel or play. See also hermit.
Tosh.
Reform, electoral. A system by which an elector who dislikes two candidates will be able to vote for both of them. Release. The liberation of a film.
Piffle.
Remote. A place with only one big hotel. See also off the beaten track.
Guff.
Reverence. The emotion felt by the normal Englishman in the presence of a county cricketer.
Oh, hum.
Ringcraft. A boxer is said to possess ringcraft when he knows exactly which illegal tricks he can employ without being warned by the referee or barracked by the spectators. Robbery. Tourist description of any price charged for an article abroad. Rotarianism. Making a religion of big business. And finally...
We hope.
rush hour, that hour during which the traffic is almost at a standstill all over the West End of London. There. What do you think?
I think I'd better leave before you kick me. Goodbye.
Drat. For that I could almost kick myself. Almost, but not quite. And now to other matters.
Hello, and I'm standing now in the bedroom of Britain's oldest living old person, Mrs. Audrey Wiglam of Arpsney, who today reaches the grand old age of 138, and says she's never, never seen a train. Well, fancy that. Audrey, tell us more. Never seen a train, eh?
Yes. Well, I am 138 years old today.
Many happy returns.
And thank you. I have never seen a train.
But that's a train that's going past your window now, right past your window.
Oh, are they trains? Oh, nobody ever told me they was trains. Listen, here comes another one.
So, Mrs. Wiglam, Audrey,
yes.
I bet you're pretty happy and contented now, eh?
Happy? You know, I'm mortified. The estate agent swore this house was miles from the railway line. Ooh, you just can't trust anyone nowadays.
Oh, dear. Well, back to the studio.
Hello. Those dark, far-off days of World War II, nation clashing against nation, threw up some pretty odd stories. Tales of stirring heroics, gallant actions, and yes, even suicidal campaigns carried out with scant regard for fellow soldiers' lives. But less about my own military record. The incident I'm about to relate to you today concerns that shadiest of foes, a woman. And one woman in particular. Geraldine Brazier, Belle of the Southern Command. Our story begins in the officers' mess of the 14th Loyal Northwest Huntingdonshire Fusiliers, where Colonel Fritter is about to toast the loveliest woof in the British Army. Gad.
I give you Geraldine Brazier, Belle of the Southern Command.
I notice you didn't join in the toast, Captain Batterpudding.
Damn you, Captain, the woman's a treasure. Her presence alone does wonders for the men in morale and appearance. I've never known them take so many showers. Cold water, too.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I have some buttons to shine.
You curmudgeon batter pudding.
That's odd. There's a light on in the Colonel's office at precisely 11:53 p.m. Who can be working in there at this hour?
Ah, Captain Batter Pudding, I believe.
Geraldine Brazier, the Belle of the Southern Command. The men were right. You are beautiful. But what are you doing here?
Oh, just looking through these icky-bicky papers.
But they're private papers, my dear.
Oh, you mustn't call me your dear.
Oh, I meant...
I know what you meant.
Someone's coming.
And you alone with a woman?
Good Lord. Better put in.
Colonel Fritter, sir.
Colonel Fritter.
I just looked in, my dear.
You mustn't call me your dear.
I found her looking at these papers, sir.
Oh, I hope you haven't read these, Geraldine. Shh, quick, someone's coming.
Colonel Fritter, Captain Batter Puddin'.
Major Horseferry.
Good heavens, what's going on here?
General Perkins.
And so it continued until the office was crowded with 12 slightly awkward officers.
Has somebody let off?
Come on, move over a bit. There's hardly room for everyone. And we're all putting that bed on.
Colonel, gentlemen, brother officers, I accuse WOOF Geraldine Brazier of breaking in here to look at secret documents.
I can explain everything. Though I will refrain from pointing out that I might ask how so many officers happen to have crept quietly into this room, probably in an attempt to force upon me their unwelcome attentions. Gentlemen, I was looking through various documents, intending to memorize a few unimportant details. Why? Because I have an old mother, lonely and impoverished, who is so proud to think that her only daughter enjoys the confidence of the army. She has not long to live. And to make her last days happy, I have to be able to quote documents of seeming importance. Gentlemen.
Shh. Someone's coming.
May I present my mother?
What a lovely lady.
We don't want any more documents.
Gentlemen, my old sick mother says she doesn't want me to get any more documents for her. She says that my motives might be misunderstood.
So, why does your mother wear spurs?
Because she came here on horseback, silly.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Now, look here, I'm here to put in.
And that mark on her face. Curious that it should so much resemble a dueling scar from Heidelberg.
Oh, that scratch, you mean. Oh, yes. A gift from an over-playful kitten once lovingly nuzzled too close to the cheek.
I wonder that the beard survived such an attack.
Come now, Beata Pudding. As an officer and as an Englishman, you should know better. Some things one notices, but chooses not to comment upon.
I take it, then, that you have also espied the pair of men's braces hanging below the skirt of Miss Brazier's dear old mother.
Braces.
What does Mama have to say about that?
They are a family heirloom. I wear them always in memory of my grandfather. I will just tuck them back up.
She's dropped a parcel addressed to Ludwig von Rumpelgutz. A German, I'll be bound.
A proud officer of the Third Reich. Heil Hitler!
Stop him, someone!
Now, Geraldine, that was not your mother.
Nein, and I his daughter am not. I am Dorothea Stuttgarten, Gottstrafe, England.
Great power.
Yes, and finally the evil truth was revealed. The colonel's trust had been betrayed. With the last attempt to melt this iron soldier, the girl softly stroked his sleeve. But the colonel flicked her hand off as though it had been a bug.
This will mean the firing squad, you know. It grieves me to be harsh with one so beautiful, but this is war.
After that, only the sobs of the girl broke the silence. And no man doubted Batter Puddin's word ever again.
Gentlemen, Churchill has been replaced by a female Nazi imposter equipped with a hollow false stomach in which vital war cabinet documents can be secreted.
Of course!
Why didn't I spot them before?
The plan's this. At 10 p.m.
So, till next time, when I'll be telling you how a trim ankle nearly lost the Allies the Battle of El Alamein, stand easy.
And now, a poem.
For lack of something sensible to do, young Bobby filled his uncle's hat with glue. It stuck so tightly to that proud old head that uncle had to wear his hat in bed. So that he might more easily lie down, they cut away the rim, but left the crown.
Adieu, adieu. We shall not meet again for at least 7 days. Thank goodness.
That was Beachcomber by the Way, adapted for radio by Michael Barfield, with Richard Ingrams, who appeared as Beachcomber. John Wells, June Whitfield, John Sessions, Joan Sims, Patricia Routledge, Simon Greenall, Brian Bowles, and Henrietta Garden played the other characters. Your announcer was Perkins, and the producer was Thompson.